Okay, Romans 12, verses 5 through 7. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So let's open in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you as we continue in Romans. We pray always for more enlightenment, for more understanding. And we pray that our studies here would be for the edification of the saints and for the glory of your Son, Lord Jesus. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. I want to bring out this point before we go further, is the gifts that were given to the people at that day, the Romans and Corinthians, or the body at that time, they were for a reason, and they were for a season. And one of the things that we want to remember, that I think is important that we remember, is those sign gifts were given for specifically for the nation Israel. That's why you don't see any believers today that manifest these signs or those signs, even though they have tapered in charisma. And when I say tapered in charisma, I mean from the Corinthian tongues and miracles that they demonstrated down to the edification gifts that you see in Romans and the edification gifts that you see in Ephesians. Those things have tapered in charisma. That is the miraculous nature of them. So not only do you not see members of the body who are manifesting healing, tongues, miracles, you don't see the members of the body with supernatural knowledge and understanding. Now, I didn't say you didn't see levels of understanding and knowledge. I said you don't see the supernatural aspect of it, where they did not have to learn these things. You did not have to be taught these things. Even in Paul's day, when he said that these things were revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, they still got it through the Spirit. The Spirit now works in a different way than he did in Paul's day. When you don't have a written word, come over to, we looked at that last week, come over to Timothy. When you don't have the written word, then God is, he's responsible to empower those prophets, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to get that word to the body. And that's what the goal of Scripture was. When Paul was talking to Timothy, he told him that from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make him wise unto salvation. 2 Timothy 3:16, 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, key word, perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. And that's why he goes on to tell Timothy that the thing that he could do in the latter days, as Paul says in chapter 3, was to preach the word. Chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reproof, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now, this is where I would say we are today. We can do the work of those gifts, the gifts that were manifested. When I say the prophecy, we speak forth those things that are already written. We're not getting new revelation outside of what's written. We're not getting new knowledge outside of what's written. And anything that we do learn, it should collaborate with what's written, not contradict it. How often do we hear this, where we might have a modern day discovery that may apparently or seem to contradict scripture? Those things that appear to contradict, upon investigation, it only collaborates scripture. Now, but what my point is this, that time those gifts were given, it was a supernatural empowerment. And they were to pass that on as members of the body to grow the body up until we all come into the oneness. That is what we are to believe and to be guided by, to be instructed by. And that is the complete revelation. Paul said in Colossians that it was given to him to fulfill the word of God. That is, he dots the I's and crosses the T's to complete our understanding. We can look now and see a complete outline of what God is doing and will do. Now, there is a time coming that those believers will increase in knowledge again, because that activity will change. Then he will supernaturally enlighten those people again. When I say those people, the Jews, before we look at 12 again, you ever wonder why people are so enamored, especially now with Revelation and things that are going on, the end time events, and everybody has a different take on it. The information, when the light comes, hold your hand, look at Daniel. Let's go chapter 10, verse 11. And he said unto me, now Daniel asked the Lord for some more insight on what would happen in the last days. And the Lord sent Gabriel to inform Daniel of some of the things that he prayed about. And here's one of the answers. Here's the part of the answer in chapter 10, verse 11. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Before we say this, how many believers today is sent information directly by an angel?
Only through the Bible.
That would be zero, wouldn't it?
Right.
How many tell us that they're getting information, not just from an angel, directly from the Lord, the revelation?
I'm sorry, where are y'all at again?
Daniel chapter 10, verse 11.
Okay.
Now, before Daniel prays, flip back to chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by what? Books. So Daniel had some information that was available to him by books, by prophets that had written. But he still didn't have all of it, did he?
Nope.
And so he's praying, and the Lord, at that time, he sent Gabriel, the angel, verse 11. He said unto thee, and he said unto me, Daniel, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for the vision is for many days. The vision is the revelation is for many days. It's still out there. It's still to come. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Or in Daniel saying is, how can you, an angel, talk to me, just a man? It happens all the time now, doesn't it? According to these guys, they're getting all kind of revelation. Verse 20. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, that and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Now, Gabriel shows him different things when he's giving him this vision or revelation about what's to come. Chapter 12, start at verse 1. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, when you read Revelation, and it says in Revelation that the book was open, and the Lord opens the book. He's the one who breaks the seals off. And all this judgment about things to come, that revelation, the angel Gabriel tells Daniel to shut those things up. And yet today, what do? We try to open those seals, don't we? We try to find out, what does he mean by this? What does he mean by that? But let's go to Revelation.
Well, Frank, how do we know that today the Lord hadn't broken that first seal?
Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must surely come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign in the earth. And then he goes on to talk about the thousands and ten thousands worshiping him. But those seals begin to be opened, that revelation of things that were to come to pass. Who opens the book? The Lamb. Who reveals those things? The Lamb. John was caught up into the future and given the vision, but these things were sealed. And Karen said, how do we know that they're not, that they haven't been opened today? We don't know. And when that information is revealed, we'll know that it's being revealed, because we'll be able to go through scripture and some of these things we can validate. We'll be able to verify these things. They won't contradict, but they will complement. Now, what do we see now? We've been complementing these things for years. And every decade, we've seen some revelation signs. So all I will say to that is, please stand by. So we don't know. And
I don't think he mixed programs, though. You know?
Say it again?
I didn't think he mixed programs, like what? Prophecy and mystery.
You said you don't think he mixed programs?
Yeah.
Well, I say, and when I said we'll know when these things are being fulfilled, when I said, you know, we just please stand by, yeah, is we'll see the changes happening. Now, one thing that we do use, and I'll just throw this out here for consideration, is when you, well, let's go back. I'll just hold that. Romans, let's go back to Romans 12. Now, here's the importance of that revelation is, just like in Daniel's day, the information was given to those people to establish them in what God was doing. This is the whole purpose. When you see these supernatural gifts, they are just a continuation of how God operates. And it's not outside of his word. It's just in a different flavor, because the signs, miracles, and wonders God has always used. And there were for a reason. And I'm going to mention something, some things to you. The very first sign in scripture was when God said that the heavens and the earth, the lights, were, let me read this in Genesis.
For a sign.
They were for signs, right. And for what? Chapter 1, verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Now, at first reading, it may not be that significant, but just what, like Jenny just said, I didn't think that God mixed programs. And what she's saying is, I didn't think that God would mix times and seasons, or that God would mix signs. Now, she may not see it that way, but the reason why those days was the fact that God has a timetable, and it's days and seasons, or times and seasons. He does things, we would call them dispensations, where he gives out information at different times. And we are to, and it allows us to see what he's doing or what he's not doing. The reason why I can say now that there's no believers that have supernatural signs today is because I know what time it is. And I know what those signs were for. And if you don't know what those signs are for, if people don't know what those signs were for, then they'll try to duplicate those things, or they'll pretend that they're demonstrating those things, but the proof is in the pudding.
Isn't it to to validate the person that's speaking for God at that time.
Yes, and not just that. That it's what the person was speaking also.
And the message.
And the message is to validate the messenger and the message. And we're going to find out how important that message was at the times. You know, flip over to chapter four. Now, this is a sign that you may not have thought of. Genesis chapter 4, verse 13. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a sign upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. You say it says mark. It's the same thing. He set a sign on him. He set a mark on him, lest any finding him should kill him. What is he really saying about Cain to others?
Don't kill him.
Don't kill him. Why not? Say it again, Annette.
I might be wrong.
Okay. You might be right.
Say it.
Well, that's what the Lord told him he was going to do, so that he would not be killed. It was like a promise to Cain that nobody would slay him.
Okay, that's true. But do you ever think about why didn't he just go ahead and kill Cain and avenge Abel? But he lets Cain go on and puts a mark on him that nobody kills him. Nobody deals with. You ever watch a movie and the guy said, go catch this man and don't do anything to him. Just bring him back to me.
Yeah.
Why do they do those? Why do they say things like that? Because I want to do what?
The slaying.
I want to deal with him personally. Right. And that's what the Lord is saying. I want to deal with him personally.
Yeah, very good.
Now, and this goes on to mark Cain, and he goes out from the presence of the Lord, not to wander like the Lord pronounced on him, but he goes out and he does exactly what an enemy or an opposer would do. He told him to wander. Cain goes out and does what? He builds the city. So he said, yeah, you know, just what I thought, just what I thought you would do. But I'll get to you later. Now, Genesis chapter 6. Since we're speaking about the messenger and the message about these signs, God saves Noah out of the wickedness of the earth. And he tells Noah in chapter 9, verse 9. And behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. Every living creature that is with you of the fowl of the cattle and every beast of the earth with you from that which goeth out. I'm sorry, my pages are curled here. And with every living creature that is with you of the fowl of the cattle and every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of our agreement.
Yeah.
This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you. and every living creature that's with you for perpetual generations. I do set my sign in the cloud, or I do set my bow in the cloud. That's the rainbow is the sign. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Now, just a question, a side question. Is this pre or post law?
It's pre the law of the Jews, for
it's
sure.
Pre, it's pre. There's no such thing as a Jew at this time, or even a Hebrew.
Right.
So this is pre or what Jenny would say, this is pre or post program, if we want to separate into programs, right?
A different season, right?
A different season. Okay. Chapter 12, well, we're just going to quote this. God gives Abraham a sign or a token. It's a covenant. And he says that every man, child, that should, he should be circumcised among you. And if that person is not circumcised, he shall be what?
Cut off.
Now, if you tightened your thinking cap up, all these tokens and signs, what do you see so far? They have a common denominator besides being given to a person. They all have to do with judgment.
Wow.
They all have to do with somebody being cut off or not. Right?
Right.
Okay. When he sends Moses to Pharaoh, well, I didn't want to do this, but I guess we're into it now. Exodus chapter 4.
The sign of leprosy and the snakes.
Exodus 4, let's start at verse 6 with the leprosy. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand. Go back to verse 1 first. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord had not appeared unto thee. Johnny, they're going to question his authenticity as a messenger from God. Verse 6, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. If they don't hear the first message, then they'll hear the second message. To establish this in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Now, this is, it's interesting that Moses, he recognizes his inadequacy to carry that message. And this goes into, kind of deviating slightly, this goes into, remember when Moses was, had fled into the wilderness, and he came across the burning bush, and he said, I will turn aside to see what this is. And the Lord told him to pull off thy shoes, for the place thou standest thereon is holy ground. I want to read something that.
It's in 3.
Okay, I'm going to read this just, and before we go back to 4, verse 3 and verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Verse 10, he says to Moses, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Johnny, and he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a sign unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Now, it's interesting that he gives Moses some additional signs after he gives Moses the main sign, is that you're going to come out and serve me. You're going to pull out these people to serve me. And these signs are going to accompany your message. When you go to Pharaoh, you tell Pharaoh to let my people go that they may serve me in this mountain. And Pharaoh wants to know, naturally, back to 12 or back to 7. Exodus 7. Now, I'm skipping some things just for time, because this is not what I wanted to put a focus on, but hopefully these things will stack up in your mind. Verse 7, chapter 1. Okay. Chapter 6, verse 28. And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. Keeping with the messenger, the message, the signs, the miracles, wonders, they were to authenticate the messenger and the message. And the message is deliverance or not.
Or judgment.
Judgment, yes. Same thing. If he's going to deliver people, there's going to be a judgment to those who are holding them back or oppressing them, or to those who refuse the deliverance. Verse 9. When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle, show me a sign, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, hit it. And they will see those things, and they have a choice to believe it or not. Right?
Right.
Okay. Now, back to Romans. Now, I said all that because these are the importance of the signs. When you are dealing with these signs, the same way through the Gospels, that's how they were. Okay, I said this. Acts chapter. This is a whole different lesson. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered and said, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the holy and just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, these are all, they killed the Lord in verse 14. They denied him. And he came, chapter 4, look how he came. Chapter 4, chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, signs, and wonders, miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. How did God validate Jesus Christ, verify Jesus Christ, approve Jesus Christ, set forth Jesus Christ? By miracles and wonders and signs. And we know that he came to deliver and to judge. He was the deliverer. He is the judge. So all who respond positively, what do they get? Deliverance. Those who don't, judgment. He's approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. So here's another man, messenger, that's given signs to validate a message of deliverance or judgment. Okay, now we're back to Romans after the different stops. When these Gentiles have these signs and miracles and wonders, the Jews can look at that and see, because they require a sign. They can look at this and see that those men are messengers of God. And God has to, in Romans 12, he's telling them, you wait on this prophecy. You wait on this ministry. You wait on this teaching. Just like Paul was given the ultimate message, the ultimate office, the ultimate approval by his signs, miracles, and wonders, these Gentiles, they have a message. And they are to demonstrate that message as God deals every man severally according to his will. So I don't think he just put these things here just for just to wrap out the chapter, you know, or they had those gifts for a reason. And they're not separated from what God wants to get across. Same way in Corinthians, when they saw those miracles, the tongues and all those gifts, they can see that God was with those people. And there was a message that was being presented to the Jews at that time and to the Gentiles. There was a message of deliverance and a message of judgment. And they were to respond accordingly. And so when he goes through this, having gifts, chapter 6, having gifts then differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. This is all those edification gifts to let everybody know what God's doing, and particularly what he's doing among the Gentiles, what he's doing right now. And the next verses focus on our response, or their response, and likewise ours, toward each other in the light of all this. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Now, these are all practical points that I'm not going to get into each one of them particularly, but what it does make me think of is a verse in Mark that I like this verse. It the principle of it impresses me in Mark. Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Well, what is the man who asked the question, where does he fit? And where does he fit on that hierarchy?
The scribe?
Yeah. Where does he fit?
Well, high up on the hierarchy.
Where does he fit? If it's God first, then my neighbor.
Oh.
Then where does he fit?
Last.
And verse 32. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after durst ask him any questions. After that, there's ask him any questions. Now, the reason I looked at that was because and I'm using the image principle here, is God first, and then you think of others. And that is a man that has understanding of what it means to be transformed to the image of his son, what it means to have a renewed mind, what it means in verse 16 to be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. These characteristics, they are characteristics of the transformed man. These are characteristics of the good and acceptable and perfect will being displayed. And Paul said, this is what the information is for. It's Timothy, 2 Timothy, is to make you perfect, is to thoroughly equip you unto all good works. Verse 17, he says, Paul says, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt reap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Strange way to close out that thought, isn't it? When reading all these good things, then Paul focuses on the opposition. Because all that live godly will suffer persecution. The same way that Cain was upset with Abel, and all those who live, all those who carry the message, the messengers, another word for messengers, Jenny, all the witnesses.
You go with that.
What do they expect? They wouldn't expect a pat on the back.
Death.
They're gonna have some opposition.
A little bit.
And so he says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible. It's not always possible. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And this is, think about Paul's day, where the Jews were persecuting all the believers. The unbelieving Jews were persecuting the believers. The Romans were persecuting the believers. And this is the time they were living in. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, Ed, this kind of reflects back to Cain. You can kind of see this. If someone was to see Cain, knowing that he was an enemy of the Lord, and the Lord says, don't touch him.
Vengeance is mine.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And just like this, and Paul goes even further. He says, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, you may have heard different interpretations of that. Well, I'll give you what that does. It adds to his punishment. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Thessalonians, when I say it adds to punishment.
Is that similar to when the Lord told the disciples if they rejected to shake the dust off your feet, it was a mark?
That he would deal with them. It would be more tolerable for other cities than for those who heard that message. First Thessalonians chapter 2, start at verse 11, and then we'll close out. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called unto, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You got the messengers, you got the message, and you got the response. It has an effectual working in some. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Paul is saying those Jews that persecute you and others, they're just filling up their wrath. They're heaping coals of fire upon them, if to could relate it to 12. And that day is coming. They will be punished for their disobedience. And it was come up to them to the uttermost, till its end, to its completion, which is important when you look at the signs. Those signs, just like Pharaoh was given sign after sign after sign, until Moses, when Pharaoh said, this will be the last time that you see me. And Moses, he said, you're right. Not what you think, but you're right. This will be the last time. He had filled up his rejection to the uttermost, to its fullness. And after that, the deliverance took place. After that, the children of Israel went out to salvation. Now, keep that in mind as where you're looking at the Gentile situation and the body situation at that time. Those signs were showing what God was doing with those messengers, with the message that was given. He was doing what he's always done with signs, miracles, and wonders. He's showing that I have selected some people. I am approving them. I am validating them. And if them, then their message. And what is their message? It's a message of judgment or deliverance. That by faith, you have the opportunity to be a partaker of or not. And when Paul goes through, his message is, it's always the same message. It's that message of, we'll say this, it's salvation that's being offered to all, a deliverance or a judgment. One last verse in Acts. This is in Acts 17, when Paul is in Athens and he talks about the offspring that, verse 29, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art, a man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Now, that's the theme pretty much of Paul's ministry through Acts, is preaching the resurrection of the dead and the judgment by that man whom God hath ordained and whom God had given assurance of, that it's him. And they said, just like the rest of them, is some mocked or some were mad, and some said, we will hear thee again on this matter. And some believed. But Paul, I'm just a messenger. You've heard the message, and the rest is not up to me. And that's our message. So we're going to stop there and close out. We'll pick up next week at chapter 13 and move forward. Let's close out here. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the time that we spent. And we pray as we meditate on these things that the profiting might appear as we continue to read and believe your word. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.